This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. But I have a burden, I have a concern, and that is that there are many, many Christians that love God, love the Bible, but their faith has been under attack. What do I mean? You had a friend, maybe even a best friend, that had more faith than you feel you could ever have. And they died of cancer. And you're saying, well, if it happened to them, what hope have I got? And then there's others that have been taught wrong about what faith really is. And then there's others that are just, your faith is anemic and you know it. And if, God forbid, a horrible illness were to hit you, you'd probably die. Well, God wants you to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And God, more than that, He wants you to walk in signs and wonders. And if I know one thing, I know that without faith, you can't please God. That's not original. That comes from the scriptures. So what I have here, John Carver, who spent a lifetime and has accumulated the best archives of the major men and women that have God has used in the supernatural. In fact, he was admonished by God that these men went to their grave and that many of the things they learned, spending a lifetime in prayer and having healing meetings, went to the grave with them. And that's why God commissioned him to do all of this collecting of books and tapes and videos of all these great men and women of God. And then I said to him, of all, who was the most solid from scholarship, from the miraculous, from the holiness of God, from the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, from people getting under conviction power? And he said, without a doubt, of all the great men and women that are alive today, and of all the great men and women of previous generations, there's not one that comes close to Dr. Charles Price. And then when he told me that a book that previously has been out of print called The Meaning of Faith by Dr. Charles Price is now coming into print and we have it available today, I said, you've got to tell me about Dr. Charles Price. But John Carver, I want to spend a great deal of the rest of this week helping people that have had their faith undermined. You know what I want you to do, Mishpucha? I want you to order this book, and I want you to forget anything you've ever heard about faith. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to get a Bible in front of you. I want you to spend that quality, quiet time with God that John spoke about yesterday. And I want you to get this book from Dr. Charles Price. And I want you to be a champion for God in this generation. John, beyond what I've just said, tell us some of the basics that you've understood from studying the Bible yourself for many years and studying these great men and women of faith. Tell me, what is faith and how can it be developed? And are there just special vessels that have this, or are we all supposed to have it? These are questions. And why isn't everyone healed? And why aren't good people? I mean, I could keep going and going with these questions, but teach a little on faith.
One of the things that I found out early on, and I was so blessed by getting my hands on this book early on in my Christian experience, because what I found, there's tons of books and on the subject of faith, from the scholarly, from all kinds of denominational views. One of the things that I have found out that Dr. Price kept the simplicity of what God has said in His Word, and he appealed to the common sense. And it's not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. When you read this book revolutionized my thinking, my walk with God.
Tell me about that. At lunch we were talking about this woman who had a sick child in Jacksonville, Florida. And what did she say about this?
Right. Now, this archive books are very hard to come by, and I definitely had to hear from the Holy Spirit to say, give this book to her. And she had this child that's very ill, and she had read so many materials. The woman was just told.
There's not a shortage of books.
There's not a shortage
of
books. No. And she was basically confused, discouraged, and when she. And I gave her two options. One, either I send the material to you, or two, I would give it to you personally. And I didn't want to push anything on her. It was her option. She emailed me back. I told her where I was going to be at. She came to the meeting with the child. She told me after reading she came to one meeting. I think
what was wrong with the child?
The child was I believe she was born. Oh, for the life of me, I can't think of it. But she had scoliosis. She was blind in one eye. She's 8 years old, has the mentality of a year-old child. And so the child was in pretty bad shape. And she took the book, and she read it, like, in 2 days. And she told me on the third day of the meeting, she said, I wished I had had this book years ago. My life would have been different.
But this is just recent.
Yeah, this has happened in the last 3 weeks.
Okay. What happened with her child after having read that book?
Well, when we begin to pray for the child, God, I just felt like saying, God healed the child from the inside out. I have never prayed that way, but maybe a couple times, but that's exactly how I prayed. People were looking for an instant manifestation of a miracle healing. Well, that didn't take place, but a healing was beginning to grow in this child. The child had trouble with her bowels. She never had what they call a normal bowel movement. And father came to me the following week and said she has had a normal bowel movement. She also had never spoken gibberish, but never clear words. And one of the first things you learn to say is, as a baby, is daddy, mommy. Well, she said, a nurse told me this. I didn't hear it myself, that she heard the child say, daddy, and that there was a definite touch from God on this child. But I believe the greatest thing of all was the change of the faith of the people that were the parents of this baby. It's a tremendous thing to be able to see people come into light when... you see, the Bible talks about there is a spirit of truth and then there's a spirit of error. Now, Satan's joined the church for sure, and he's got a lot of stuff that's out there. Maybe many times from very zealous people. I myself have been asked to write book after book after book because I know so many things about so many people. And I said, why recreate the wheel? Why not just republish the book that was out there? It can't get any better than this.
What do you say to the person that says, John Carver, I know so-and-so that had integrity, had a heart from God as a child, confessed the word, stood on the promises of God, would not say and let one negative word come out of his mouth, and he died. What would you say to that person that came to you?
One of the first things that I learned very early on, dealing with one of the Voice of Healing preachers, and I heard this. He said, many people cannot believe right things because they already believe wrong things. And one of the toughest things to do is to deal with people who are indoctrinated. You've got something already in your head. You got something already in your heart. And even if Jesus would appear, it wouldn't change anything. He did in his day, and they still didn't believe him. And so that's the problem.
Preconceived thing.
Preconceived idea. I call it predispositional thinking. Pre, which is before. Disposition is the way the person is. And I've run into it every meeting. Every time I have a healing service, I run into that probably 75% of the people that I pray for They have preconceived ideas.
And you know what I noticed, John, with the preconceived ideas? If God himself wants to do something different than their stinking thinking, they'll say, no.
That's right.
I'm not going to go this way because this is the way God operates.
I heard you, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. And it's very discouraging for someone who has fasted and prayed and sought and sees the heartache of people. I mean, I'm a type of man that feels people. And when I try to get through that barrier of preconceived ideas and believing, and when God gives you something to help that person, it's like it doesn't go anywhere.
What would you say to someone if they say, you know, I'm standing on faith, but I feel like the Lord is telling me to go to a doctor. What would you say to them?
I would say do it.
There are people that say, well, it's going to diminish my faith if I go to a doctor.
That's old teaching. That is wrong teaching. That's a teaching that's wrong. When Jesus had the 10 lepers come to him, what did he say? He said, go show yourself to the priest. Well, that was the means of getting a clearance to go back into society. If the priest didn't give you a clean bill of health, you were not allowed to go back into society. So what's so wrong with having a physician? And I was never like this. I came out of a deep-seated Pentecostal background, and I've watched people die because they wouldn't go to a doctor. And I don't believe that's of God.
What are some other big misconceptions?
That God's going to do everything.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I mean, you know, I believe God, people pray. I've seen this happen so many times. People pray for God to bless them. I've seen this happen in a financial situation. And they'll say, well, God, I don't have no way of earning anything or getting anything. And it's kind of like if you use what you have, then God gives you more. That's Bible. And if you don't use it,
they're expecting that gigantic miracle.
Yes.
And they're just a lazy bum.
That, you got it. And there are lazy Christians. There are lazy Christians who are always waiting for a handout from somebody else, and they won't get up and do nothing themselves. And that's the answer to that problem, because we need to be people who are doers of the word and not hearers only.
Tell me very briefly about some of the contents of the book we're offering this week, The Meaning of Faith by Dr. Charles Price.
Well, he goes right into the fact about the collapse of faith. Now, you got to remember, here's a man that's come onto the scene, and he has seen phenomenal discouragement, misconception, and teachings. There were all kinds of crazy teaching out in his day, just like it is our day. Nothing's changed. And so he explains the collapse of faith. And then he goes into what is faith, the meaning of faith. And then he talks about what faith does. And then he goes on to how faith works.
I have to tell you, I read some of this.
Yeah.
And I've read almost everyone's books on faith. Mm-hmm. But there's something so simplistic.
That's it.
And so pure.
Yeah.
And he had the scholarship to back it up. Look, Mishbucha, I think this is time that you understand how faith operates. You can't please God without faith. The book, The Meaning of Faith, $15, postage paid by Dr. Charles Price.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, cassette catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Look us up on the web, www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.